News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Well, when you've decided to come forward and to say that you're actually being abused and that you're in a relationship and you're being abused, we want to know, where do you go for help? What assistance is out there for you? Well, Women's Aid is one such organisation who are much more than just a helpline. So joining us today to discuss what the support they offer is and the telltale signs that you might be in an abusive relationship is the Director of Women's Aid, Margaret Martin. Margaret, a very good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Women's Aid, just tell us what it is that you do and the services you provide.
Well, Women's Aid was set up over 40 years ago, so we've developed a range of services. Now, the biggest one of those is we have a 24-hour free phone helpline. So that's absolutely confidential, the service. People are anonymous. Your number is not going to show up when you ring. And very often what we'd hear is maybe somebody will ring and they go to speak and they lose their confidence and they're silent. And we'll stay on the phone with them for a while and just talk to them to try and settle them in. Sometimes it can be very difficult to talk about being abused, and we're very much aware of that. So we're there to listen to whatever. Maybe it's something has just happened the night before or over the last weekend, or something's been building up and women might want an opportunity to be able to talk about that, to find out what are her options. She may want to see somebody to have a more in-depth support visit and to explore that. And certainly we would recommend, if she's considering going to court, we'd outline what her options are. Loads of women do not want to go down that route, but for women who do, we provide a court accompaniment service. We would explain to them what's happening. We'd ask them what's the likely effect of that, because we're basically all the time thinking about the safety. How do you, if there's abuse in the relationship, how do you de-escalate that? How do you reduce the threat very often that women are living under, are the fears and the anxiety that they're experiencing? So we're trying to deal with that as well.
Now, one of the things I noticed that was interesting there that you mentioned is that service you provide where there's the follow-through, the accompaniment of going along to court with people, that support service that they might need. Because some people might be afraid to come forward to make their complaint because they don't want to end up before a judge in court.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, a lot of the calls that we would get is really about giving women that space to explore what their options are. And they might want to think about that for quite a while before they decide to take the action. But if they do take the action, then at least, so for example, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes with the domestic violence bill. It'll take a while for that to settle down. If people are unsure, before they go to the courts themselves, they can actually find out that information for themselves, because they can describe their own experience, what's happening to them, what's the relationship, and we can talk to them about that, whether they're eligible for a barring order, whether they're eligible for a safety order, and what's the fallback position maybe that they need to plan for if they don't get that.
You mentioned the phone line. It's a free phone line, and what I thought was most important is that when people contact you, their number doesn't appear.
Exactly.
Because that's a deterrent, isn't it, sometimes for people?
Yeah, because, at the end of the day, it's quite a small country. It's quite, you know, if you're ringing from anywhere, people are going to be afraid that maybe somebody is going to pick up the phone who recognises their voice and who knows about them. And that's a fear. But our phone is absolutely confidential. The number never shows up. The other thing that's important about our helpline is about a quarter of the women we see in our one-to-one services are migrant women. And English, they may have very good English, but for a lot of women, it mightn't be as strong. So we have 170 languages available on the helpline. So within about 30 seconds, if somebody rings and they say, I speak Albanian, I speak Chinese, I speak, you know, whatever language
it is. So this is a really international service, Margaret, what you're offering.
It's not an international service, but what we're trying to do really is, as we saw the number of migrant women coming to our service, we needed to be able to support them in a way that they understood. And when you're talking about abuse, that's hard to talk about, first of all. But then when you're talking about legal things as well, to avoid any kind of confusion, the service we use as well is based in the UK, because what we found was that language communities are quite small. You're talking about something that has to be kept confidential, that also that there's safety issues. So if you're talking about a small community in terms of a particular language, well, then if you're looking for an interpreter from that language, there may be connections. So at least this way, it means it's in a different country. It's a totally professional service. It's used by the police in the UK. It's used by Women's Aid in UK. We've been using it for a number of years. And it's really, really helpful.
Yeah. And particularly if people here that have come from other countries, they're familiar with their own legal background in that country. And obviously the law changes as you move jurisdiction. So that's obviously a good service to offer. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about who, I know obviously you can't go into details, but in terms of who's actually reaching out to you for assistance, even anecdotally, Margaret, have you noticed a change in the trend in terms of even more younger people coming forward?
Well, we have a particular campaign that targets younger women, so certainly we would notice that. But we're very busy. I mean, we would get about 50 calls a day and we're available 24/7. The majority of them are, you know, particularly during the day, but a lot would be during the night as well, where women feel safe and that their space is safe, particularly if they have children and they can talk about what can be very distressing. So women would really range from 18 to 80.
All ages, okay.
All ages. And with younger women, I suppose the reason we set up a Two Into You campaign was that for an awful lot of younger women, they're not going to associate with Women's Aid. They think that's for women who are married or settled down, who have kids. They don't identify with something like that. But what we were hearing from older women was the types of abuse that they were experiencing. And when we heard their stories, for a lot of their stories, they may have became involved with the person who then became their husband and their abuser at 14 and 15. So we knew a lot of this behaviour was starting very, very early.
So this is the childhood sweetheart?
This is the childhood sweetheart, or even known that. So what we do, and we have this campaign that we normally run it around Valentine's Day just to show the dark side. And also then we have the 10 signs of an unhealthy relationship. We have a relationship quiz.
Yeah, tell us about that. Because obviously, particularly young people are so engaged with online activity. So this is something that's kind of tailored for their needs.
And also your hormones. I mean, if you find somebody very attractive, you're going to want to be able to interpret what's going on in a positive way. So maybe you think they're just a bit off if something happens. But what we would find in particular is there's very often a pattern that can happen early on in a relationship that is about checking up all the time, getting constant texts. And eventually what we see in that is that there's a pattern of isolating women from their support base, from their friends. And it can be really flattering in the beginning. So it might be that, you know, you've always gone out with your friends on the first Friday of every month or whatever the routine is, or you always see them at a particular time. And he just happens to get a booking for some sort of a restaurant or a gig or something that you want. Now, of course, that can be innocent enough. But what happens is sometimes is the pattern then is that that happens a couple of times, or he's on constantly texting you when you're with them and checking up, and maybe he arrives, you know, to escort you home because he's worried. He doesn't want something to happen to you. But that means that he's curtailing what might happen because you might have chosen to go on with your friends somewhere later. So that's a very, very common pattern that we hear from women. And we hear from women who that has happened to, and they have ended up really isolated from their friends, not having contact with their family, maybe having married somebody and living far away from anybody else. And then living maybe in a house where they have a car, but he's taken the keys to the car. So they actually are physically isolated with their kids. And it can be, you know, and to all intents and purposes, it looks like, well, what's she doing there? She has a car. Why doesn't she come down and see people?
And that's one of the things I wanted you to talk to us about today, is to give us kind of an insight and an indication into some of the sort of very basic, simple, the telltale signs, and that level of control.
Yeah.
That you talk about is a very basic one that a lot of people can probably identify in people that they know down through the years as well, where that has happened. Is there anything else, I suppose, before we go to the more extreme end of people obviously having physical signs, but there's more?
I think stalking is a really big thing, both, you know, physical stalking and online, you know. So again, it's this thing of somebody who knows a bit about you, who follows you, who it just turns up all the time. Maybe when you're, you know, if you play tag rugby or something, and you know, it's always turn up, but also is stalking you and your friends. So to get this sense of who you are and who your connections are. And sometimes that can become really damaging then, because if they start to put up lies, like we would hear from women an awful lot about how social media is used to put up lies about them to damage their reputation, particularly, I mean, there's a really harsh judgment in terms of women's sexuality. So it's very easy to insult women in that way. That would be one thing we would hear. We'd also hear a lot in, and I think this is probably something that's quite hidden, women who are made to watch pornography and then to act out some of the things that they're really very uncomfortable about, that they're being coerced into that, that they're, you know, he's really pushing them to do all sorts of things. Sometimes they end up being quite painful things. Sometimes they can be very humiliating things. And that's a very difficult thing to talk about. So that's why it's important that we have a helpline, that you have somebody. Because a lot of the women who would contact us, they may be talking to their friends, they may be talking to their family, but there's certain things they don't want to talk to them about because it's hard to step back from that.
Margaret, for anyone listening this morning that feels they're kind of even on the outside of the parameters of any of these things you've mentioned, what's your advice to them if anyone is a little bit hesitant to get in contact?
Well, what we have on our website, our Two Into You website, is a relationship health check. And lots of young women have said to me they've gone in, they've done that, and they're really happy to see that they're on the right side of things. And one of the things we would say is, you know, trust your instinct. If you feel maybe there's something wrong, ring us. Don't worry about that. It's a space for you to explore that. And, you know, have a look at our website. There's our Women's Aid website. There's a lot of stories there. And I think once women hear other stories, it's very difficult sometimes to describe abuse because it's all this drip, drip, drip. And particularly when you start talking about coercive control. But when you read some of the stories and you can relate to it and say, oh, some of that is happening to me. So that's a good place to start. And at any time of the hour or day, you know, it's a free phone number. It's 1-800-341-900. We're always there.
I was just going to ask you to give us that, most importantly, just if you don't mind again, Margaret, for anyone listening.
It's 1-800-341-900.
OK, we'll leave it there for the moment. My thanks to the Director of Women's Aid, Margaret Martin.